You should have a sermon outline in your bulletin, and don't have a lot of time left. We have enough time to get into it. I was hoping to actually cover the whole thing today, but many of you are grinning right now. There was an over-under, and it was about a 90-1 odds that I was not going to get through chapter 21 and 22, so you can collect your money afterwards if you bet in my behalf. I apologize for letting you down yet again, but anyway, I'm just looking at the clock. I'm not going to even attempt it, which is kind of good, so there's some things I was going to leave out, and there's still things I'm going to leave out, but I will throw in a little bit more than I was planning to, because we'll have another session in this, and it gives you a little more time to do your homework and pray through this as well. Front page of your sermon outline looks like this. Begins with our goal, which we introduced last time with a number of passages, but just summarize all of it with this one passage, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. May this be our motto for the rest of our lives. Paul says, and we need to follow his example, to live is Christ and to die is gain. To live is to live for Christ, and he is all about our destiny. And so we live for eternity. We live to serve him, which is living for our eternity. And to die is gain. And so this passage goes on to speak about verse 23. We have, as Christians, a desire to depart and be with Christ. We see that as much better than this life. And yet, we want to remain that we might serve others for their progress and joy in the faith. That's the balance of the Christian life. We live in that tension. Amen? I want Karen to stay alive, to be here for my progress and joy in the faith. At the same time, there is a certain sense of rejoicing if the Lord were to take her home. It would be intense grief. As I mentioned last time, probably an unbearable grief. I would need for a number of you, Anne, and a number of you to come alongside me to, you know, get me through. I'd probably die of grief. But at the same time, it's mitigated with an incredible sense of joy in her behalf, and that's what love does. It values the other. So this is just a good biblical summary by Paul's example on the mindset we are to have. So my goal last week, this week, and next time I speak to you, if there is a next time, is that we develop this very mindset, this very perspective, this tension that we live in. This is our future itinerary, and there's three big words that I want you to circle in the itinerary. The first one is heaven, going to use that kind of loosely as the state that we are in the moment we die. Talked about that last time. And then skip down about six notes or so. Circle the word millennium, which not every Christian believes in. A lot of people, not a lot, there's some that think that all the words about the millennium in the Old Testament and the New somehow are fulfilled symbolically in life in some way, shape, or form. That's hard for me with my particular understanding of Scripture. I'm kind of a simple guy, so I see a definite millennium, but there's some great theologians that don't. And then at the end of that millennium, there'll be a little turmoil, and then there's a new heavens and a new earth, all right? So the last one is new heavens and new earth. Heaven, millennium, new heavens, new earth. I should have put those in bold. I apologize. Now, we're going to be in heaven when we die. That's an appropriate term to use. We looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and some other passages, and we found that heaven is glorious, filled with the glory of God. And in heaven, we will have heavenly bodies that can enjoy the glorious presence of God and not die. And that, number three, we will be totally at home. When you think of the best home you've ever lived in, this will be 100,000 times more. You'll be way more at home, and it'll be way better than the home you've experienced. It's home. It's where we belong. In John 14, we looked at, we're all under the intermediate state right now, being going to heaven. We looked at being with the Father in the Father's house, being with the Son in the Father's house. And then in Ephesians 4, we looked at the fact that God has designed to be pouring out the riches of His grace in kindness to us in Christ Jesus for all ages to come. In other words, God's going to be doing kind acts for us throughout the ages. Your husband can only come up with so many. God can come up with an infinite number of kind acts that we will be enjoying for all of eternity. We went to Galatians chapter 5, and we mentioned the Holy Spirit will be there still guiding us regarding the fruit of the Spirit. And so instead of keeping a distance from each other, we will want and desire an intense closeness to one another, because you'll be growing in and I'll be growing in the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things will be exercised to the hilt, and we'll even be growing in those things. And then, of course, worship. Worship in a deeper level than anything we've ever experienced. Heaven will be, and that, this is just the beginning. This is a taste. We're going to go through a lot more today, and then there'll be a lot more next time we get together. So we'll just kind of, we just mentioned those things. And so that's heaven. Sometime during the end of this age, there'll be a seven-year period, which we call the tribulation period. Going to get kind of rough on the planet. And sometime during that time, the beginning, middle, or end, there'll be the rapture. We can actually divide the church this way. We got a pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. Maybe we ought to have them come in this way next time, right? No, we're not going to do that. We don't divide over stuff like this, okay? But we find it encouraging that God could come back on the one hand any day from now. Those folks could be right. On the other hand, we find it necessary to prepare in the event that those folks are not correct, all right? In other words, prepare to go through a really rough time on the planet. Sometime after the tribulation period, there'll be the marriage supper of the Lamb fit in somewhere there, big banquet. And then there'll be, at the same time, around that same time, Armageddon. That's when Jesus comes back. We're going to come back with Him, and He'll take care of the problem of sin and those who are sinful. And there'll be a judgment seat of Christ, where we're not judged for our sin, but judged for our stewardship. And we will probably live that out during the millennial time. That's the next big age, 1,000-year period. You can read about in Revelation chapter 20. And then at the end of that time, interestingly enough, there'll be Gog and Magog. That's a battle for those who during that time maybe were brought into that time in some way, shape, or form, or grew up there. And some actually won't trust Christ during that age. And so that's a whole other topic. But Gog and Magog, real fast war, like seconds. And then the Great White Throne Judgment, where all unbelievers will have their lives judged. None of them make it. And nobody who's not trusting Christ. And then there'll be the new heavens and the new earth. And since we're focused on our destiny, we're not wanting to make this a year-long event, we're going straight to the new heavens and the new earth now. We talked about the intermediate state, the heaven, last time. And then as we look at the new heavens and new earth, though, we can extrapolate from God's creativity and heart what it might be to add to what we've already looked at in the heaven right now. So we're going to dig in, just going to go phrase by phrase through Revelation chapter 21. Everybody there? Everybody good? All right. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth passed away. Now, as we read this again, you're trying to spot truths about this place of destiny. What do we learn about how God's designed this place? So we're going to continue to that theme that we started last week. So see if you can pick it out. What does this place look like? What's going to feel like? What's going to be like? Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no longer any death, no longer any mourning, crying, or pain, the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, these words are faithful and true." And he said, "It is done," or completed. "I am the Alpha," the Omega, that's in the Greek alphabet, A and the Z, beginning and end. "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. And he who overcomes shall inherit these things. I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That goes back to the end of the previous chapter, chapter 20. You can read about that in line with the great white throne judgment. So let's go back to chapter 21 and verse 1. We're trying to spot what is this going to be like? What are the truths about this destiny that we have? So I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It's new. That's where we're going to end up, and it's going to have that new smell to it. You know what I'm saying? You buy something, you know, and you want that new car, right? You got that new car smell. Okay. Everything's going to be new, and so that's a pretty important word. And he's going to hammer the fact that the old things are gone. Why is he doing that? Talk about that in a moment. But it's a new heaven and a new earth. That word heaven could refer to all of the heavens, or it could refer to a new atmosphere, new planetary bodies, all of that kind of thing. But it could refer to God's domain, you know, what we think of as God's domain as well. Heaven's used in both ways in Scripture, so not exactly sure about that. I think what's going to be apparent, though, is anything that sin has touched in any way is gone, completely gone. So I think that's the idea. Anything sin has touched, and did sin touch, quote, heaven? Well, Satan rebelled way back before, God made Adam and Eve, okay? So there was a rebellion in some part of heaven in some way. Anything that sin touched, I think, is the idea, is gone, okay? No remnant left of that, I think, is the idea. The first heaven, the first earth passed away. So big point, no remnant of sin. And there's no longer any sea. Now, you could go to Revelation 13 regarding that. The beast came, and the Antichrist comes out of the sea of humanity, used symbolically there. Or it could be literally the sea. And for these folks, we like scuba diving stuff, but for these folks, the sea was a very, very horrifying environment for them. And sea is also seen as separating. Nations are separated, and we've benefited from that greatly, and we've benefited and lost both, but, you know, because of the oceans. And so oceans are seen as separating people, and I think the big point here is there will be perfect community, perfect unity. Nothing separates the peoples, okay? Think that's the idea. Verse 2, "And I saw the holy city." So not only will it be new, this city will be holy. And I know we can't get our eyes off that word city. If this is our eternal destiny, why is there a city? Like cities, like nobody wants to, everybody wants to escape the city and be in the country or be on the coast or what. Like a city? Now remember, we talked about this last time. This is really hard for us. When everybody is practicing and even growing in the fruit of the Spirit, love, perfect value of one another. But I shouldn't even use the word perfect, because I think we're going to grow for all of eternity. I don't think we ever totally arrive on anything. Probably not anything. And yet sin nature will be gone. So an intense amount of love, an intense amount of joy. You like to be around joyful people? Yeah, absolutely. With ecstatically joyful people? Yeah, that's what we're going to be. Peace. No divisions between anybody. No shame. Nothing that divides in any way. Patience. Everybody will be totally. That's one of the problems of city life, except for like Philadelphia, where people are impatient, or Anna Maria, I should say. Like nobody's impatient out here with the golf carts, right? If you, by the way, if you're a guest here and you're driving to golf, I got to go on. Speed up. All right. It'll be a different day. No golf carts in heaven, though. I'm just saying. I don't see them anywhere, okay? Only really, really, really super fast vehicles. So it's going to be a city, but it's cool because that's what we're going to be all about is be together. And we're going to see it's going to have gates. There's going to be an ability to travel. But the city, as you read ahead, will be translucent. We'll want to be together in the presence of the glory of God. It's a big mind change. Anyway, just go with it for right now. It's going to be a holy, holy means no sin involved at all. Go on the internet, no lies. Everything's true, like today, like whatever, you know, okay? Holy in every way. I mean, set apart to God, set apart to morality, set apart to ministry, to one another. A new Jerusalem. Interesting that word Jerusalem is used. More about that probably next week, or next time we're together. Coming down out of heaven. Now, this could be coming down from the heaven that's not been touched by sin, which I kind of suspect, or it's been created with the new heaven and then coming down from heaven. Either way, it's coming down from heaven. The idea is what? Heaven on earth. Earth is joined to heaven. This is the at least the capital of our future destiny. Will there be other cities? We're not told. Don't exactly know. During the millennium, definitely. But during the new heavens and new earth, not exactly told. But this will be the center of life, no doubt. That's the way it seems to come across here. Made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. The idea is it will be decked out, beautiful. This is a magnificent, beautiful, brand new creation of God. We'll read about that more a little bit later. I heard a loud voice from the throne. Oh, by the way, just the word city. Jot down these two things. One is heaven on earth. What's going to be like? You'll have heaven on earth and intimacy. We think of other things when we think of city today, but in this time, as we go through this, we're going to see city really represents wanting to be together. It's going to represent intimacy. No place to hide. We don't want to hide. It's all going to be translucent, it appears. Verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne, behold, the tabernacle of God, that means the dwelling place of God, is among men. This is where the whole Bible points. Men and women being together, people being together, and God being in their midst in a deep way. The dwelling place of God is among men. He will dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. Why is verse 3 worded with those phrases? Because you can find those phrases throughout Scripture. This is the desire of God from the very beginning, for God to be with us and for us to be together. That's the big idea here. So intimacy is huge in this new heavens and new earth. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Joy without pain. When we think of heaven, joy, no pain. There shall no longer be any death. There's no hospitals, there's no pharmacies, there's no cemeteries in this place. Perfect life, eternal life. No longer any mourning, crying, or pain. For the first things have passed away. It is a restart, kind of a word I have written down. And yet, will we remember things in this life? People debate that, and I say, absolutely, because this life has a point. This is not the best life possible. We all know that. Well, listen to me. It's the best way to the best life possible. It's the best way to the best eternity possible.
Why didn't God create us perfect in the very beginning? Why not? Because there's something about going through all that we go through here, and I believe in a millennium to come, and also in an intermediate state, all of that's going to be worked together for our perfect existence in the new heavens and the new earth. It doesn't culminate really until then. And so, of course, you're going to remember stuff. But how can you remember stuff and not be sorrowful, mourning, crying? How can it not cause you pain? Because God changes us to give us His perfect perspective on all that is painful to us right now. Does that make sense? Now, how does God work that? For example, if you have a son or daughter that goes to hell, or a spouse, how in the world can you, if you remember that, somehow, some way, God works perfectly in our souls to give us a perfect perspective that brings a perfect healing? I don't know how, but you can't have mourning, crying, or pain. Now, the easy way out is to say, God, just what's that movie where the guy has the stick and he hits the button and you forget everything? It's a Will Smith movie. What is that thing? Whatever. Anyway, okay. What is the point of this life if we forget everything? What's the point? So, of course, we will remember everything, and yet we'll be able to deal with it in a perfect way. It will have perfect, unmitigated joy without pain. First things have passed away. It's done. Verse 5, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Is there a redundancy here? Yeah, that's the point. This is a restart. There's a redundancy. What about regrets? You know, sin is one thing, but regrets are something that sometimes they're caused by sin, and sometimes they're not. You know, you didn't get off at the right place on the off ramp, and now you have to go like 200 miles before there's a turn. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, those are regrets. You didn't really sin, but and so we have all kinds of regrets. I have tons of regrets. Somehow that's gone. Unfulfilled dreams. Somehow your unfulfilled dreams that are godly, I believe, will be fulfilled for all of eternity because this is your perfect home. Will we be different there? We'll be ourselves, but without a fallen nature. Girls will be girls. Guys will be guys. What age bodies we have? Will I be pretty? Will I be thin? God, it will be. You will be your perfect self. What age? All of that kind of stuff. I don't know. We're not told. But you'll be your perfect self. But whatever your nationality is, probably that's going to be carried over. If you continue to read this passage, you'll see that that's probably the case. Personality differences. Your personality probably without the fallen nature stuff that's part of your personality, the excesses, right? The stuff that drives your spouse is nuts. You know, that stuff's going to be gone, okay? No guilt, no shame, but this life is about taking us to the best life possible, and everything that happens in this life has something to do with what's happening there, even your deepest desires. Verse 6. We're almost out of time. We're not going to... It's okay. He said to me, it is done. All things are new, and now it is done. This age is over, and salvation has been culminated. We're in the new heavens and new earth. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts. Thirst for what? Well, everything that's godly that we thirst for, from the spring of the water of life without cost. Life to the fullness will be ours. Everything that's godly that we thirst for will be satisfied and being satisfied for all of eternity. Verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit these things. God recognizing that there's a lot to overcome in this life, but God will bring us through those things. I will be his God, and he will be my son. Well, what about daughter? Well, in the mindset of these folks, sonship was those are the folks that inherited stuff. not the daughters. And so it's kind of a compliment to say sons and daughters will be like sons in the sense of importance in the family, I think is the reason the word son, my son, is used. Verse 8, the cowardly, the unbelieving, in other words, these things mark an unbeliever. Now, they are part of all of our fallen nature for sure, but a lifestyle in these things is an evidence that a person is not regenerated, a person is not trusting Christ. All right, that's the idea here. Again, all of them, we lapse into these things. They're all part of our fallen nature, but this is not the trend of the lives of believers. Cowardice, why? Because we trust the Lord. Unbelieving, we're trusting the Lord. Abominable, committing abominations before God, things that are detestable to Him in our words, our actions, our thoughts. Murderers, that's just looking down on others. Immoral persons, that's wanting to sleep with people that we're not married to. Sorcerers, that's involved in witchcraft and all that kind of stuff. Idolatry, putting other things above God. And notice a little emphasis, all liars. I mean, there's big emphasis on truthfulness. God is a God of truth. These are indicators, evidences that if this is the design, the continual lifestyle that we're living, we're probably not trusting the Lord. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Previous chapter, end of the chapter, these folks will be judged by the book of their life. Those books will be open. If your name is not in the book of life, you'll be judged from the book of your life, and nobody judged from the book of their life, read the end of the last chapter, nobody makes it. The only way to make it to this place is to have your name in the book of life. How do you get your name there? By trusting Christ as Savior and Lord, period. Okay? I mean, it's that simple. And we're going to read just a little bit more, and we're going to have James come up and band, and we're going to close in song just a little bit more. Get your taste buds going, and we'll end. Verse 9, and one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the last plagues, in other words, there'll be during the tribulation period, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. I don't want to go into that right now because I'm out of time. But this is one of the angels that had the seven bowls of the wrath of God, came and spoke with me, saying, come here and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Will there be marriage in heaven during the millennial time? Quite plainly, by those who, well, I don't want to go into that right now, but anyway, in the new heavens and the new earth, so many things we need to talk about. In the new heavens and the new earth, will there be marriage? Absolutely. One marriage. Will there be family? Absolutely. One family. And we're it. And we are the bride of the Lamb. But the Lord wants John to see this bride. And again, we're shutting down with these couple of verses. Verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit. And this is a vision that John is having, and he's exiled on the Isle of Patmos, chapter 1 of Revelation, and God's given him a vision of some of the things that are fixing to come, including this final state for us. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. That would be the vantage point that folks back in this day, they didn't have helicopters and stuff or drones, the vantage point to be able to see over a city, and so that's the idea here. And he showed me the holy city, emphasize on city, emphasize on holy, and Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? We'll talk about that next time. Coming down out of heaven from God. So there it is again, a city, heaven on earth, so to speak. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, a stone of crystal clear jasper. The idea with that, that crystal clear jasper, is probably like a diamond kind of appearance thing. This is going to be apparently a translucent city. Why translucent? One, no shame, we'll want to be together, but two, the glory of God will fill the entire place. And we, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, I forget the verse 40-something, we will shine like the sun, we believers. We will be radiating the radiance of God. And yet we'll be totally at home. There won't be anything like, I can barely see or something like that. It will be completely, totally at home, relaxed, enjoying the fruit of the Spirit, enjoying the warmth of God and the warmth of one another, and yet an incredible, spectacular center of our existence with open gates. There's going to be travel, be able to go see a black hole or whatever. You want to do stuff like that, but it'd be a perfect black hole. I mean, whatever, okay? So it's beyond our wildest imagination outside of these hints that we're given. James, if you would, in company, come on up. Beyond these hints that are given, but when people, and again, we'll hopefully put this all together next time I'm here. When people make statements, Christians make statements like, heaven's boring. You're just going to be sitting on a harp, on a cloud. A cloud's comfortable. Playing a harp, I don't like harp music. For just boredom for all eternity? Seriously? How did we propagate that as a church? Like, where did that come from? I mean, this point, folks going, I go, I could go to hell, or I could go to heaven. Hell might be more fun because it's like some sin I like doing there. Heaven, you're just bored. Nothing's further from the truth. We're going to answer that question really, really directly next week. Next time we're here, I'm not going to be here, I don't think, next week. But I think the rapture's happening, so I'm not going to be here. But for the rest of y'all, I'm planning to be here the week after that. Come back to the planet for a while. Where was I going with all that? We're over time. I lost my train of thought. It doesn't matter. If you got a friend that thinks heaven is boring, bring them in 2 weeks. If you got a friend that thinks Christianity is boring, bring them next week. Okay? Going to have a really dynamic time next week. Something big time prepared for y'all. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this great privilege to be able to be together. We thank you for great grace today. Thank you for fullness of life right now, but a even fuller life in heaven, and a fullness during a millennium, and a perfect fullness during the new heavens and the new earth. And Father, we just pray that you would so work and so move in us to get us excited about what's upcoming, because we are ambassadors of heaven. At the same time, thank you for the privilege to want to choose to remain here for the progress and joy of others in the faith. Help us to represent heaven, our home, well. Thank you for great excitement, both in this life and in what's upcoming. And friend, if you've not trusted Christ, again, pleading with you to speak these words, Lord Jesus, I trust you right now as my Savior and Lord. I want to be part of this heaven that's been spoken about a little bit today. I want to be part of your eternal worship. I want to know your presence now. And so, Lord Jesus, I turn from everything that is harming my relationship with you. I turn from all sin. And I want to trust you as my Savior and Lord. Grow me in the knowledge of you, and grow me in the knowledge of the life that you've designed for me on this planet. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go where you want me to go. But the bottom line is, I trust Christ as Savior and Lord. No turning back. I trust Christ. Amen and amen.